is Mike Mutnatsky, Ken Laird, and Chris Curtis. Mutt, Ken, and Curtis on Sports Radio WEEI.
Monday morning, Curtis will be back from Hawaii. Mutt will be back from like North Chelmsford. And they'll both give us a full recap of the vacation.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, New England.
I love Jerry Callahan.
Are you insane? That's my question, Stella. I really need to know. Are you insane?
I don't think so.
That was Stella Trombley, who said a lot of insane things in her time. But did she still was a selectman in New Hampshire? What was
she
her
was
title?
Some elected state official in New Hampshire who, after the Boston Marathon bombings, said that it was a staged event to by the government. It was an inside job, like 9/11 was like the I can't remember the.
Yes, so that Jeff Bowman was an actor.
Right, that this was some sort of acting going on. So we got her on the line, and it was a great interview that we were all excited to do. And Jerry got right in her grill and said, "Are you insane?" And she said, "I don't think so," and then hung up the phone. So that was a short-lived interview, but that was, I think, recently, at least my time working with Jerry, seeing him in action during and after the Boston Marathon bombings was peak Jerry Callahan. His column the day following was superb. I'll find it and tweet it out today, the way he sort of, as he always did, encapsulated what the region was feeling at that specific moment. I think it ended with, sometime they win, the bad guys win, and yesterday they did. It was commenting on how he used to cover the marathon and that he would stay at that point of the day to see those that were passing who were often running to raise money for cancer research or for running for fallen mothers or siblings who had died from cancer or other issues, and how that's where the best stories were often told at that point when the bombs went off in that afternoon.
Well, and that falls under a story that was not a sports story at all, but that's when Jerry was at his best. And this may doesn't fall directly into it, because a lot of people were talking about that story. Few did it better than Jerry and John and Kirk and that crew did during that time, Jerry specifically. But if it was a non-sports story that other people were maybe kind of afraid to get into, it was Jerry's fearlessness that stood out in this market. There was not a story that he was afraid to touch. Even when people in this building and people that are here still or people that have moved on to other things felt uncomfortable by it. Even when co-host he worked with, people at the station felt uncomfortable. He didn't care. He wanted to do great radio. And there's this aversion, and I guess I fall in this category because I've done it before, where you're for safety purposes of your job, you may stay away from a certain story or a certain topic. And Jerry, you know, like the firefighters who run into that burning building, that's what Jerry did when it came to those type of topics. He not only didn't back away, he went in with an opinion, whether you agree with him or not, and he was ready to go to battle in those dirty areas where I think in this business, especially recently, there's an aversion to do that. And that's one of his best traits, is his fearlessness on the air.
But I think we saw the result of that on Friday. There's a positive and a negative to that, and he doesn't regret it one bit, and his career speaks for itself because of it. You're absolutely right, Mutt. And part of me, I've wondered, like, because having the counterbalance to Jerry was always something we fought, Curtis, like getting the right foil for him in, or the right opposing view. That went a long way to providing, I think, balance. Because it's cliche to say get the discussion started. You don't want it to be something where the listeners are, half the listeners are totally tuned out, right? You want a legitimate discussion.
Right.
So I've, over the weekend, been like thinking back, what could we have done differently? Could we have had this person in more, this person in less, somebody that could have hung with Jerry and provided the counterbalance in a different way? I don't know, just scratching my head, why, you know, because I agree, that's one of Jerry's greatest qualities. Well, I think it's a great quality for a talk show host. I think the region wanted that. But here we are today, and Jerry lost his job. His contract was not renewed. So what could we have done? Who was the perfect counterbalance for Jerry being in?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll go back to pull the curtain back a little bit. We were all as part of a meeting months ago. Last fall, the show became official. Jerry and I found out the same time that morning when the press release came out that you talked about on your show this morning, a press release that, you know, knocked us both for a loop. I think, like, I speak for Jerry in this case, knocked the entire show for a loop, announcing the Mutt and Callahan show, what the show was going to be, which was the opposite of what the vision was for the show, at least in the mind of the people on the show. So that happens, and we sit in a meeting with our boss and our boss's boss, and we discuss the future of the third man role. And there were some really good ideas, third man and third woman role. And I think the thought at that time was we were going to build towards making a real effort to hire someone if they fit as a full-time third person on the show. I think we agree that was the...
I think Jerry was sort of promised that.
Yes, I know he was. And so that meeting happened, I want to say, in, let's call it October or November. Yeah. In the preceding 6-7 months, nothing happened to move us towards that goal.
But we never quite found the right person either. It's a tough thing. You know, I think we did some good shows, but as good as Reamer and Wiggy are, they were good with Jerry and still are good with Jerry. Sometimes you thought, okay, you know, Reamer, he's just, the cachet is not there. He's not in the market long enough for it to be a strong enough left-wing presence, etc.
I think that the two things, Mutt, that you mentioned are key to what made Jerry great and what still makes him great is that he would find the pressure point and he would stick to it. It wasn't that he was avoiding those types of topics. Once he found them, he wasn't going to let you escape until you had a proper explanation for why you felt the way you did. And the second point is finding people to match wits with Jerry Callahan is incredibly difficult.
Tough.
He's as smart and as on his game as anybody is. So trying to find someone who is as A, well-read, and B, fearless to go into these topics, to talk about things like he did about race and politics and all of these other things that are hot-button issues, it's hard to do because the second he sees that somebody is avoiding the topic, he's just kind of done. He's not going to keep getting you involved if he sees that you're not willing to discuss the topics that he is.
So, and that's not a shot at Reamer. I think Reamer was totally, you know, well prepared. He came in here ready to fight and did. I just, you know, I'm scratching my head for anything. What could we have done differently to keep it going longer than it was? Because it was not a ratings thing, in my opinion. It was more of, I don't think so. I mean, we could have been number one. I don't think it would have changed.
No, I heard Glenn kind of mention it. Alex did as well. I mean, I look, no one's happy with the results of the spring ratings period, which had us, I think, fifth. In our demo, the two books before that, we were second. And last fall, we were very close to this. Not to relive the ratings part of it, but you don't go second, and fifth, and then the ratings decide what's going to happen with the show. This was more than a ratings thing. I'm convinced of that, and that's why I was blindsided by it.
Yep.
And I think many of us were on the show when we got the call. Curtis and I got the call. Curtis got the text from Tomasi. I got the call on Friday morning because I think we were all thinking, okay, we're gonna battle through summer. We're gonna come in, talk about vacations. We're gonna have a full Patriot season. We're right neck and neck with our main competition during the Patriot season last year, where Kirk was on for 1 2-hour window during that entire fall book. Right, that was the 2 hours he came in after the announcement.
Yep.
And I felt pretty confident that we're heading in the right direction. I'm disappointed, like I said on social media, that we did not get the chance. And disappointed is an understatement. The show got essentially 9 months. And I'm with you. My personal opinion is the ratings would not have mattered, that this decision, like, you don't have the press release ready to go on Friday. It's a decision you made like last week. This decision was made, whether it was weeks ago, months ago, I have no idea. But that's the impression I got from the aftermath of it. You can't just have this thing ready to go and you just decided like last week, hey, we're going to make this move.
Well, I think one thing that has to happen is whoever writes these press releases at WEI needs a raise. A+ on the Mutt and Callahan press release.
Chris Curtis, executive producer in charge of all press releases.
Yes.
Jerry should have been a little higher up in the press release, given that, again, if you want to go through the timeline of the station, they're going to celebrate. I think I heard Mustard say this on the weekend. It's going to be 30 years, like next year. We're year 29, about to be year 30. For 20 of those 30 years, you know, it's been, you know, Jerry Callahan in the mornings in some sort of day part. As all these things are changing around the station, he was a staple.
Yeah, I think 91 EEI switched to all sports, and 97 he and John were, you know, in full time in the morning. So, for full time in the afternoon, 99 they switched to the morning. So you're talking about, you know, only 6 years of the station's history as all sports without Jerry.
When there's a million other changes
with Glenn
around
before
him.
That, right?
Yes, and he was one of the star co-hosts on that show, and he famously, had a comment with Glenn, and out of that came his show in the mornings with Dino. I mean, that's how, you know, that the whole thing started there. And to get fifth paragraph, whatever it was, in the press release on Friday. He deserved better. I think it's part of the reason why the three of us are here today.
He's still waiting for the watch from 20 years. I mean, he was upset about that.
He and Doug Lane,
that was bizarre. Speaking of surreal moments, when we heard the news, that was surreal on Friday. But being in Florida last year for spring training, and we're there, and it was bizarre. First of all, Jerry's voice was out, and Kirk, it was after a lot of things had gone on at the station, and we don't really know what topics we can or cannot address, and it's Jerry's 20th anniversary. And he's sitting there in an empty, JetBlue Park, hanging out with Kirk, who's about to jump out of the window. It was a bizarre, bizarre scene.
617-779-7937, the phone number. As promised, we are taking your calls today. Jerry Callahan doing his final show on WEEI on Friday. His contract not renewed was up in late August. I suspect that we'll hear and see and read Jerry Callahan very, very soon, probably across multiple outlets, as many people said today. Over the weekend, it became cliche, still at the top of his game. And he is, and we've all worked with him recently. He is not going anywhere, but he's not going to be on this show. And no surprise, a lot of people want to react and talk about Jerry. Maria is in Watertown at 617-779-7937. Hi, Maria.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Well, morning, Maria.
I think it's an understatement to say it's somewhat the end of an era. And while I don't have a specific Jerry story, I do have a lot of angst over this because, you know, listening to your show always gave me the opportunity to learn something new, express my opinion, and give me, you know, a forum to talk about, you know, things that were on my mind. And Jerry was always gracious, courteous, as you all are. And I think I'm going to, I know that I'm going to miss that significantly with this group somewhat breaking up. And I think if you need to look at a silver lining, it's because, Mutt, I think you have blossomed during this stretch of turmoil with joining Kirk and Jerry. I think it's been tremendous to listen to you grow as a host, and I have to give you kudos and credit for that. And, you know, short of that, I'm not really sure what I'm going to be doing with my mornings now, gentlemen, with Sports Talk Radio, but I wanted to at least have the opportunity to say thank you for many, many, many years of radio enjoyment, and I hope everything works out well, as I'm sure it will for all of you.
Thank Maria, you, thanks. Man. Yeah, things will work out for Jerry. I mean, you can't. It'd be hard not to learn from, you know, sitting with Kirk and Jerry, and then Jerry for 9 months. You learn, you know, how to do things. I had mentioned on social media that, you know, he was always, you know, looking for that. You said the push button, but where's the argument? And a lot of times I've defaulted, you know, in the past to, okay, what's the big sports topic, and what just sort of informational, where it's not to see Jerry react to what he would say boring sports radio, either by mocking it or by you know, immediately, you know, finding the right way to approach something. Like, you can't help but learn from working with a guy like that.
Another thing that we have yet to bring up, which was great with Kirk and Jerry in that period, and John even as well, but the Whack-A-Trolls, that great period of time where we had Spygate, and Jerry was going back and forth with these people who had no idea what they were in the middle of, with Kirk and Jerry, who have read through every word of the Wells Report, in context, you name it, every element of that story, they were up on every morning. Curtis, get me this latest story. Make sure you have Greg Doyle that. Make sure you're ready to go with all of this.
Poor Mad Dog Russo was in the crosshairs for five of those.
God.
The Wells Report thrown in his face.
It was incredible. And it was just one of the best moments of that. I believe it was with, I think it was George Diaz, maybe, my favorite interview of all time, which, when I was asked who the greatest guest I ever booked was George Diaz, one of my low moments on the show. But Jerry asked him, what do you think about the part of the Wells Report where they absolved Brady or whatever? He created something that was not in the Wells Report. And George Diaz says, oh, yeah, that was a good point. And Jerry points out right away, not in the Wells Report, and just exposed him. A great setup. And in that period, no show in the region had the pulse of this city more than that show, led by Jerry and Kirk, in sort of outing the frauds who were out to dethrone Tom Brady. And that was, of all the things that I was a part of with him on the show, that's near the top of the list.
Well, nobody knows subject. Who George Diaz
no,
is.
A, no one knows
I know
who
we
he
had
is.
Him on,
and B,
what's
we,
the
what
move?
Happened?
We moved on.
What happened
context?
To him?
What do you mean? What happened to George Diaz?
Precisely. That's perfect. And, you know, they had Mayor Walsh on, and he... Who, do you know who Matthew Denese is?
Right.
No, I don't. I mean, those are the Jerry gotcha moments throughout many of his interviews.
And he loved doing that to the point where this speaks to, you know, how those interviews went. I think, Curtis, you can explain this better than I can. But the show garnered a reputation among, like, national people where people became – I think it was probably easier early on to get people to come on and talk about their dumb Deflategate columns. As the thing went, at least as I saw it, it was harder to get some of these people, both, you know, unknown and big-time names, because they were fearful of being caught in that gotcha moment by, you know, Jerry and Kirk in that spot.
Well, what inevitably happened after we have these guests on is that EEI.com would write a story, whether it was Rob or Hannibal would post it on the site, and these people would become national punchlines because they would join this number one rated morning show, and they would get exposed. But the best thing about the Spygate stuff and with Jerry exposing the trolls was that led me to a seat on the Richard Deitch podcast, which is what changed the course of history.
Came national news. I mean, that's why this is such big national news. Jerry out, I mean, Friday he was trending. By the time we were on Encore Casino Friday night, Jerry said he had talked to like 45 people. Boomer Esiason called him, many national people that he was friends with over the years. He had 500 text messages. I mean, it was a huge, huge deal.
I think a lot of people feel the same way, that his career was still trending. He was still at the peak of his talents and was told on Friday he's no longer going to be working here. People are disappointed by that, as we are, to say the least. Jackson Dighton, before we get to a trending and, Chris Curtis on headlines this morning. Good morning, Jack. Say what you want about Jerry not being here. He is going to go to I don't know what he's going to do. I talked to him for a short period of time on Friday as he was going through all this stuff, and he was, you know, typical Jerry.
A lot of people,
you already know, good. We don't have to talk about it.
A lot of people bring up the writing aspect, and we were talking about that Friday, and he said, if I have to, I will. But Kyle DeLuz, our former intern, wrote a piece on him, and at the end, Jerry was quoted as saying, when radio is done right, a lot of laughs, a lot of energy, a lot of listeners. When writing is done correctly, you're by yourself, your hair's falling out, biting my fingernails, guzzling coffee, I'm in my own little world. So he was, obviously Dino had the, you know, great, good columnist, should write more to Maria after Dino left, kind of a shot at Jerry, but he was an unbelievable writer, could easily do that for a million. He could step back into the Herald today, the Athletic, a million different places, and probably radio at all those places.
He's going to be in some sort of broadcast platform. Yeah, I don't know what that's going to be, but having worked with him just 10 days ago, he has got too many thoughts in that ridiculous brain of his. He'll be doing it very, very soon.
Although he told me he's going to have a good summer. Perfect time to, if you're going to get, he and Chach talked about this, better in the summer than the winter.
That's correct. Great producer.
Well, summers, the days are getting shorter. You know that, Chris.
I can't believe he didn't own up to that. I'm listening to the show.
Yeah, he denied that.
I mean, why would I lie about that, Jerry? You're walking down the hall, you said it, it's okay.
It was the first day of summer, and he said, oh, days are getting shorter now.
Yep.
The whole station's talking about it. He denied saying it?
Yes, he said he didn't say it. Well, you were there. I heard it. I mean, come on, Jerry.
We will get to a trending with Ken Laird, and then headlines as only Chris Curtis can present them here on Mutt, Laird, and Curtis.
But first, we trend.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, Dodgers took the series at Fenway 2 out of 3. Last night's game ending at 12:40 a.m. 5 hours and 40 minutes of baseball. 7-4 Dodgers in 12. Hector Velasquez, the loss, he came in, walked 2 in the 12th, including Max Muncy to drive in what could be the winning run.
40 minutes.
Unreal. Red Sox had chances, too, in the 9th, 10th, and 11th with runners in scoring position. Brock Holt struck out in the 10th. J.D. Martinez grounded out with the bases juiced in the 11th. Joe Kelly to rub salt in the wound. Bradford Hall of Famer came in to close it out, struck out the last two batters. Yankees also beat the Blue Jays, so the AL East lead is at 10. A's lead in the wild card, the second wild card, and they acquired Homer Bailey in a deal with the Royals. And by the way, the Yankees among those who scouted Noah Syndergaard's last start, so they're still looking for pitching help. Sox and the Jays, four-game series at Fenway starts tonight, 7:10. The first pitch on the Shaw, Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Choke Siglione and Dale Arnold on the call for the entire series.
Excellent.
Andrew Cashner arrives for the rotation tomorrow night. 9-3 Mutzke with a 3.83 ERA over 17 starts this year. 12 of the Orioles' 28 wins came with Cashner on the mound, although this was obviously done for bargain reasons.
It's not, first of all, it's done too late. They wasted all this time. You're putting these crappy fifth starters out there. Now they're going to definitely rely on Nathan Eovaldi being one of their guys in the bullpen. They're probably not going to make another major trade.
Nope.
They go into today's game. They play this 5-hour and 40-minute game. They pitched everybody except for one guy. They're shorthanded today.
Walden, only they should have pitched Walden instead of Velasquez.
You can say that, but both guys have not been good. And they're at a point where they go into this, I won't say a must-win game tonight, but you have to take 3 out of 4 from Toronto, which are 2 and a half back, the wild card or whatever, and you're shorthanded tonight because you didn't make another move in your bullpen. So yep. I don't quite understand not only on the field last night some of the moves that Alex Cora made, but the Dave Dombrowski thing, and Mark James, among other people, was ahead of me on this. He has had a rough, rough year transactionally on this roster and has put them in a bad spot where, you know, they have no chance of the division and they feel like they're not even a playoff team right now.
He's on the hot seat. I'll say it right now, Curtis.
You going to say that?
Yeah.
Hot.
Wow. By the way, Curtis was all over this game. You were all over Mendoza and the
I was all in. I was watching it first inning last night. Saw the three-run bomb off of Price by Pesky's pole. Jerry's got a great story on Bobby Doerr we'll get to.
Good.
And after that, Price throws right behind the head of the next hitter. It was wild. The building was erupting.
And then late in the game, Jess Mendoza basically said on the ESPN broadcast, we have the clip somewhere, I know that, where Red Sox fans were happy because the game was going so long. Red Sox fans might be happy that the Dodgers scored.
That game was late. 45 minutes longer than the five-set all-day marathon between Federer and Djokovic, however you pronounce it.
Baseball is thriving. I don't want to hear it.
We all root for Federer, right? Because Federer is sort of like the Brady of tennis.
No, I don't root for Federer. I was the Sampras guy. I like Sampras.
Very hairy guy, Sampras.
Curtis has your headlines coming up next.
We're back with Mutt, Ken, and Chris. Mike Mutnatsky, Ken Laird, and Chris Curtis on Sports Radio WEEI. It's time once again for Headlines.
Let's celebrate. Donald Trump is the next president of the United States.
It's a great day in America. Everybody who works for a living should be proud. The makers won. The guys pulling the wagon won. The ones in the wagon lost.
I mean, it took me about 10 seconds to enjoy the victory before I turned to enjoying the misery of others.
Well, that's why I'm here.
including our good friend John Tomasi.
You all right? I've been better.
Jerry?
Yes.
Today is our day, brother. Tomasi.
Yes.
Italian for loser.
It's time for Curtis and Callahan's Headlines.
Our quick behind the scenes are what I've been told about that show in a second. Headlines sponsored by Northeast Men's Clinic. They specialize in men's sexual health. You can learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or at 617-793-5000. And Tomasi has admitted to this, but he said he had his worst show ever that day. That
totally
he was rattled. Mute,
oh,
nothing. Who came in? Was it Lenny Clark? Came in that day
no.
and basically took something.
Yes, he did.
Shilling?
I think he did.
I think Lenny Clark came in the day after. And Tomasi basically, yeah, sure, take my microphone. I don't care anymore. And just got out of the way because he had nothing. He was so depressed about Donald Trump winning the election.
I remember two things about that show. One, that Tomasi was a lump and was totally out of it. He was in it. He had lost his reason to live that morning.
Yep.
And I remember.
And by the way, that was his last show on with Kirk and Jerry for months, right? They were sort of, it was like a silent band.
Shadow band.
Yeah.
And then I remember I had in my possession a picture of Tom Brady at the Brookline Polling Center placing an absentee ballot. And I couldn't figure out how to tweet it out. So I've like got this breaking news that is going to go around the world in seconds. We have a guest on hold. And I think Kirk was literally ready to kill me, like strangle me against the wall because I was saving in drafts and not sending for some unknown reason. Finally got it out. Lou Maloney credited Chris Filani, but that's okay. And we got the story out there. So,
by the way, those shows, just thinking back to it, when Kirk and Jerry were at their best and you and I were in the firing squad at times and everybody was, but the feeling of like the pit in your stomach feeling, you never knew what was going to happen next. It was unbelievable radio. It really was.
It was a period of my life where I think, first of all, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Is this it? Will this be the final Chris Curtis hosted headlines?
Could be. We got big meetings today. Power meetings. So we'll see what happens.
You don't?
Never nothing.
Are they just going to crop out Jerry and the new Mutt at Night will be the vest?
Well, I think the vest picture is going to die. That has to die with the show. It's too perfect. You guys made an excellent point in the pre-show today. People need to listen to the podcast. But that picture and that photo shoot sums up, I think, the approach to this show by many in this building over the last 9 months.
Does
that
a thousand
photo
words
right there. Now,
like years from now, when the Mutt and Callahan show is discussed,
ooh, oral history,
picture,
the athletic,
that picture is just going to say it all.
The puffy vest,
puffy vest.
And to my credit, I nailed it. The puffy vest is still in. I was in Maine this week. It's people on the beach, bathing suit, a puffy vest, just shirtless.
On the Real KNC, which you can listen to in podcast form later, I mocked others for the master class of making the Jerry Callahan exodus of WEEI about themselves, and now I'm about to do just that. So you talk about Kirk. Kirk motivated me out of fear. I was deathly afraid of Kirk Minahan. I still am to this day, fearful that he's going to come around and say, why didn't you have that Karin sound? Where's that story, you idiot, you slob, you drunken fool? But with Jerry, it was a fatherly respect. I wanted to please him at all times. I felt that if I didn't do something, I was letting down the man I grew up idolizing and listening to. So this brings me to my alcoholic announcement. So for months, I had withheld this information, told Ken early on, and hadn't really disclosed it with others until Alex's situation, and then I told Mutt as well.
Yep.
But I had yet to tell Kirk and Jerry about this because of fear of being judged, but more specifically with Jerry, of seeming how somehow letting him down. So this was my announcement back 2 years ago tomorrow.
All right, the floor is yours now, Chris. Be as articulate as you like. Take as much time as you want. Let's hear it. How nervous are you right now?
A 12 out of 10.
He's shaking. Good He's start. Shaking right now.
All right, here we go. So, Kirk, you recently discussed the passing of your parents in a very open podcast, and I feel like there's been an element of what I've been dealing with and who I am that I've left off the show because I was afraid of judgment and how people would perceive me. I'm an alcoholic. That was my big announcement.
Oh, congratulations. Wow.
So that was me.
In a perfect EEI fashion, as he says the word alcoholic, the audio kind of sort of...
Well, you guys were on remote. That was the day at the golf
tournament. Yeah, Mohegan Sun. Yeah, Johnny Damon. I saw that shirt.
Yeah, you were excellent that day.
I was awesome. Almost went too much. Was it, who was the, was it Amani? Not Amani Toomer.
Brandon Marshall.
No. Was it Plaxico Burress?
Okay, you can name it?
Oh, Brandon Marshall, sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, so during that period, it was that moment in which, you know, I discussed that, but over my years of working with Jerry, it was a real and true feeling of needing to live up to his expectations for me and sort of be able to sort of tell the story and get the stories in order and get the sound ready and have every breaking news type of topic ready to discuss for Jerry because I so admired his ability to find the right story to nail and settle in on the right topic to discuss that day. And the real, I don't know what you say about this, about what you think about this, Mutt, but
yeah,
his real number one quality was knowing exactly what the city wanted to talk about at that moment. Like, he would find and settle on a topic and have a take that you knew people wanted to A, be informed about, and B, had an opinion on.
I would say it's right up there. So the fearlessness and the ability to talk about things other people got uncomfortable talking about is right there as well. But yes, like, that's part of setting the dialogue. You famously said it with Deitch. But I mean, that's what the show did. That's what Jerry and Kirk did. And before that, even Jerry and Dino. And I, you know, having watched Jerry work now up close for about a year or so, yeah, I didn't watch a lot of Dino and Jerry interactions. My guess is that Jerry was a big part, even going back to John and Jerry, of setting that tone and setting that dialogue.
Absolutely.
And back to the Curtis announcement, the reaction from both Kirk and Jerry there was surprisingly to me, like, it was odd. It was muted. But for years afterwards, really up until I think even like weeks ago, it would still come up again. How did we not know Curtis was an alcoholic while he was here? It still stunned them. Of the most surprising thing about the show is they never knew, and then they still never quite grasped how you pulled it off.
It's really one of the great wonders of our time because I was rehired without being asked a question about my drinking.
Well, did you see Chartier's work? I mean,
that's another. Talk about misremembering history. Jerry and Kirk,
the two of them.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh my God, they despised Paul. They would kill him to me.
There are three people who disliked Paul Chartier at this building more than anybody: Jerry Callahan, Kirk Minahan, Lucy Burge. Those three, in that order, did not like Paul for all different reasons.
Is that true, Lucy?
Can confirm. Yes.
Oh, really? Lucy was not a fan. We had private conversations. I will not air out about Paul. And
he said I was a bad kisser. That is unforgivable.
Yes. Once you do on that road, it's over. But in the recent months, they have both claimed, Jerry and Kirk, that, oh, we had no problem with Paul. No, we didn't want him out. They were bad-mouthing him every single day off the air.
Right. And so you listen back to the drunk sound that we play of me all the time, which is just unbelievable.
Crazy.
Even for me to hear, listening back, knowing I was consuming as much gin as I was. For those two icons of story breaking, news gathering, being right on top of all cutting edge news stories, to be sitting 10 feet away from me for 5 years, 4 years, having no clue that I was hammered. It just...
Were you drunk at the first interview? When did you start? You started in 2013?
Well, funny story. My first interview with Jerry, Kirk, and Jason Wolf, I got dressed that morning for it, and none of my pants fit. I just put on a ton of weight. So I go to Target and buy these khakis that are just hideous. They're just massive. I think it was like size 40, 42. And I put them on. And I come here, and I drink in the car on the way over here, which is awful. I should not have done that. But, oh, no, I drank every morning even back then. And I get here, and I am sweating bullets, nervously meeting them. And they come down, and Kirk sets eyes on me. He's like, who is this thing? What have you delivered to my presence, Jason Wolf?
Love at first sight.
Do you remember the first? Was there so much booze involved you don't remember that first interview?
I remember it. I mean, I had interviewed with Jerry and John earlier on before they hired Stitch, who was already at the station. So when Ian Maripol left, who was an earlier producer of the show, and in that meeting, they asked if I had a nickname, and I said Lumpy, and they liked me right away because they said I have a nickname named Lumpy,
yeah,
and they were
nicknames.
Ready to go. But
that's why Jerry did not like me at first. I had a, as you would be shocked to hear, a boring
blues
story.
Man.
The blues man, yeah, and they're down on me. I mean, Jerry wanted Lucy at Paul, and probably should have made that call right away. Can I diverge to, now, you talking about that remote at the golf tournament.
Yeah.
Can we go, because Jerry Thornton now posted this nice thing about Jerry on Friday. Jerry said it would have been a perfect eulogy if he passed away. But the tension between Thornton and Callahan at the White House,
oh baby,
remains. It's like unspoken. Does Jerry give him a pass on it, or does he not? Because this is his moment with Trump now, and this is full uncut. This is from the lawn, right? You were there.
I was there.
You had new Milton suits.
The day that Aaron Hernandez committed suicide.
Correct. Correct. But here's what it sounded like with Jerry and the other Jerry.
Jerry, where?
Which Jerry?
Get Jerry. With a G.
I think you meant this one.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll be right up.
Oh, Mr. President.
No Curtis shout out, but
no.
Thornton inserting himself in between Jerry and his big moment. So now Jerry's praising Jerry Thornton, Callahan is. But is there still an unsaid, he's livid about that, right, to this day?
That was as insane an afternoon as you can imagine. And we are there with, we brought Sean Spicer K-cards, so we got like an open invitation to the whole White House. I mean, we were hanging out with
that's
Ivanka.
Well, those things are like a calling card no matter where you go.
Oh,
you bring
God.
A WEEI K-card somewhere.
I got
somewhere.
The nuclear codes. It was
open
awesome.
Bar the whole week in Maine. It was
how
unbelievable.
How far is Spicy Phone? He's golfing with Meter last week at the WEEI Celebrity Golf Tournament. What a foursome.
Yikes. But anyway, so we're,
missed that. Was in court, but go ahead. Yeah.
So we're with this, you know, this at the White House, this unbelievable event, and we get sort of taken around by Sean Spicer. We meet his family, and in every picture in the corner is Jerry Thornton, like, clawing his way into this thing. And we're finally in front of the White House in the back in the Rose Garden, and the President of the United States is pointing at Jerry Callahan, trying to say hi, and here's Jerry Thornton, like, jumping like there's a bullet coming in front of Jerry right. to get the attention of
Thornton
the President of the United
States. Thornton wrote a big post the next day, like, Trump meant it for me, just stolen valor at the highest level.
And he kills this place all the time. The only reason he had that day is because we brought him along with us in all the places we went that morning or afternoon, whatever it was. It was a crazy day.
Sorry to derail your headlines.
No, was it good? Anything else you want to mention here at Headlines, Chris?
I think that's Headlines.
Excellent Headlines with Chris Curtis, sponsored by Northeast Men's Clinic. They specialize in men's sexual health. You can learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or at 617-793-5000. I see the dumbest caller in WEI history on hold wanting to talk about Jerry Callahan, who did his last show on WEI on Friday. We'll hear from him. And speaking of that show, you want to hear the boys reacting to the Aaron Hernandez news front and center that day? We had that and come
sure.
back and
yes.
play that.
Ready to go.
That was a big headline, big Patriot story. Maybe the biggest story during this Patriot run was Hernandez and what went on there. We heard it live with Kirk and Jerry. We'll hear that with your calls next.
Now back to Mutt, Ken, and Chris on Sports Radio WEEI.
On April 19th, 2017, Aaron Hernandez was discovered hanged in his cell by corrections officers. Life-saving techniques were attempted on Mr. Hernandez, and he was transported to UMass Leominster, where he was pronounced dead at 4:07.
Hey, Rabbit, what's happening?
Hey, guys.
We thought you had some insight into the Hernandez situation.
Let's
hear it.
Okay, let's. Yesterday, actually, as a matter of fact.
Whoa, stop right there.
Time
stop
up,
right
up.
There.
You spoke to Hernandez yesterday.
I did.
Okay.
All right, so you're telling me that he's not gay, but he was upset that Michelle McPhee said he was gay. And people exactly. were taunting him.
And that's the reason he committed suicide?
100% the reason he committed suicide.
Yes! We are accomplices to suicide. It is a day to celebrate the New England Patriots and a day to celebrate the news from back home in that's Shirley. Awesome. I'm happy. Odin Lloyd's family's happy. And Abreu and Furtado's family's happy. This is a good thing. It's a good thing for society. He's evil and he's gone. And
he's
that's
dead.
A good thing.
Let's put on the list of things that never were accomplished under the watch of Jerry Callahan. Towards the top of that list were the We Killed Aaron Hernandez, Kirk and Callahan t-shirts, which he thought were going to be a major, major seller. And rumor has it that our station is going to more of this direct marketing. You can buy station paraphernalia.
Well,
that was
yeah, the mudslides
meeting we had recently. Mudslides are big.
Well, crazy thing, walking around
yeah.
Kauai, Haight has a home shirts. We're everywhere. They just sent it to the wrong
happened.
Place.
We're going to put... Where Haight has a home, but people can put them on their lawn. They can buy them on the website, put them on their lawn.
behind the scenes of that show, we're in this tiny auxiliary studio inside of our DC affiliate station, and I get a text from Ken, who sends me the tweet with the blue check mark, as Glenn Ordway would point out, and it was that it was from a Fox 25 reporter, I had never seen before, and it was Aaron Hernandez killed himself. And so I'm, you know, scrambling, and I am in the same room there with Jerry and Kirk, so there's no real talk back or any ability. So I just hand the phone to Kirk and to Jerry, and they're just like, oh my God, you know, sort of vamping for about 30 seconds before we get another reporter who we had actually heard of.
Yeah.
And I think, Ken, you chimed in at that point, and we had a day. We actually began that show with 15 minutes of Brad Stevens playoff coach talk because they had just lost to the Bulls.
That I'd like to hear.
And it was this, you know, sort of just wonky, you know, our flight down there. We had to, anyway, it was a long story about our trip to D.C. and then got into the Celtics. And then right around 6:15, 6:20 in the morning, the news broke that he had committed suicide, and the rest of the show was totally changed. And there was Jerry at his absolute best, taking that story, personalizing it, and having a unique and entertaining and edgy opinion on it.
Of course, you on remote for a show like that, it was a nightmare for me because then, you know, I'm scrambling for stuff. Jerry wants to advance the story. And Jerry on remote was always an adventure because, like, when Trenny was in the border of South Korea and North Korea, and he wanted the gunshot sounds in the background, and he couldn't hear it on remote, and he started losing his mind in me.
Through the headphones.
Like 10 minutes. You know, so...
Jerry on
it
remote.
Good. It was a win for the show. That was a terrible day for me personally because you know just
because well, Curtis is the news guy. Curtis is supposed to be doing. Yes, see that's his strength, and I will certainly. That's another part of this whole thing that sucks is that I won't be working with you guys every day because you made it very enjoyable. But it's Jerry on remote would get frustrated. He was so mad at Garvin that day. Was it?
Oh yeah, our fill-in producer.
Who am I talking to right now? He says on the air, Matt at Garvin for different sound and stuff that he's doing back there. One of the two was not here. I could see it the last couple of months for sure. He would be a little off kilter. He'd love working with you two guys.
And we bring Ken on remote finally, and he starts booting on the air, projectile vomiting during a trending.
That might have been the beginning of the end.
Right.
They might have said, "Ooh, this show's getting a little bit too crazy." Albert in Rhode Island wants to weigh in, hopefully just on Jerry and not on quarterbacking in the NFL. Good morning, Jerry, or Albert, whoever.
Wow, that's a low blow.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, what's up, Albert?
Yeah, it's really sad. The other day when I got that text from a buddy of mine, I obviously didn't believe it because I listened to the show in the morning and I was thinking, I'm like, if they're gonna dismiss Jerry like that, obviously he would have had the opportunity to to say goodbye to his audience. But it, 2019, that's the way things work. But I think Jerry was great. We disagreed on almost everything. I still think he had an unhealthy obsession with Tom Brady, but he was nice enough to allow me to go onto the set twice. Along with Curtis and Kirk and whatnot. And what I liked about Jerry was the first time I went in, I was obviously nervous, and he looked me in the eye and called me an ant, which I thought was great because he looks like a little scared ant. Like instead of like kissing up to me, playing the role, I'm so happy to see you. He really couldn't stand me. He really wasn't happy I was there. And he was real. He was forthcoming about how he felt, and he ended up being a really nice guy. And I think it's pathetic, and I think it's sad that someone with that kind of longstanding, successful career and reputation in writing in sports radio was done out like that, obviously backdoored, and your bosses or whoever are looking for more of, you know, the Alex Reamer types that just come in. They can have their radical opinion.
Well, I don't think Alex Reamer.
The bosses want more Reamer. You think
anyone in the building, any of the bosses, Albert, have ever said, you know what, the station needs more Alex Reamer? No one has ever said that except for Jim.
Here's my question. Why is it acceptable for someone like Alex, and I'm not even disrespecting him, but someone from that position to have those radical opinions? But we all know, obviously, Jerry's politics and his views and the way he went about things, that obviously has to have something to do with his dismissal. So why is it not okay for Jerry to have strong, forthcoming opinions? And why is it okay for Wiggy and Alex to have theirs? I mean, Alex called Brady's kids an aunt, suspended for a little while. If Jerry had done that, he would have been gone 2 years ago. I don't think that's right.
Well, people are unfortunately treated differently. And to agree with Albert for the first time ever, yeah, I think that Jerry was done dirty on Friday. I think to for what he meant to the station was ridiculous, which is why we're doing the show here today. Jerry could have been here today. From all indications, Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, he was afforded the opportunity to come in and do one final show. He did not want to do it, which I totally understand. we were given the same option. Do you guys want to come in and do a show on Monday?
Yep.
And part of the reason why I pushed for it was because I thought he deserved a better send-off than he got on Friday with that press release and, you know, doing his last show. This is not derogatory, but as a fill-in show with, you know, Dickerson and Alex Dreamer, and a bad Dickerson, in fact, on Friday, from what I've been told.
Well, and not to pivot dramatically from that, but this is going to be a dramatic pivot. One thing that Albert said there, the Jerry Brady love. Can we play? We have a minute to play the post 2014 Chiefs, Kirk, Dino, Jerry. After the
all timer.
This is really an all timer, and Jerry hung with Brady even in the worst times, and this is Exhibit A of it.
How does Garoppolo get a touchdown pass through to Gronk and Brady can't?
Because it's garbage time.
Oh, I see. The other guys gave up. God, take your pink hat off, Jerry.
Do you think
More Dennison Callahan
straight ahead. Do you think that? You really think?
Jerry,
they'd have had a field goal.
Jerry, you have lost all credibility, Jerry.
So if
lost
Garoppolo,
all credibility.
Just for the record.
It is sickening.
You guys both think
it is sickening.
Just for the record, you guys both think they're better off with Garoppolo.
No, of course not.
No. Nobody thinks that.
Do you think that?
No, I don't. You posed the question, what would the difference have been if somebody else been in there? And I said it might have been better.
What would the score have been?
Playing poorly.
What would the score have been at halftime if Garoppolo had started last night?
17-0.
Right, okay. Right.
So how is it Brady's fault?
Who said it's Brady's fault?
God, you both did.
I listened to the reason.
You guys sound like children. You sound like children.
The first walker.
Quarterback. Lost all credibility.
They give up three.
How well he can enunciate with his lips on Brady's ass.
That's very deep. That's very deep and well thought out, Dino. They give up 303 yards.
I listened last night.
This is how Dino handles confrontation. He leaves the room.
The first ever walkout. John Dennis.
Sign of things to come.
Was so mad in that situation because Jerry brilliantly is forcing John to rip Brady because Jerry's defending Brady, saying that after that Monday night debacle, Trent Dilfer famous, this team's not good anymore. That morning, Tuesday following that Monday night game at Arrowhead Stadium, and John is forced by Jerry to either defend Brady, like Jerry is, or to rip him. And he can't do it, so he walks out of the room and says, how does his ass taste?
With his lips on Brady's ass.
That's very...
And by the way...
How long did he stay off the... Was it a full segment?
He went downstairs, had second breakfast and first lunch, and then came up.
That's bacon crisp.
Yeah, no, that's where the crispy bacon came from.
By the way, what, Laird? What?
Every Brady interview, it was... Jerry would get... If Brady would laugh at a Jerry question, oh, man, it would be like that Darren Hernandez soundbite. Yes, it was... Jerry had won. If you got Tom to laugh, a little chuckle... during the Brady interview.
Or if he addressed him as Jerry during the interview.
Yeah,
that was another big
friend.
Happy birthday, Jerry.
Oh. One more quick Brady note. One of the best moments off the air was when we got the TB12 books sent to the station. And so Kirk got his and Jerry got his.
Jerry was licking it when I came in the back office. It was odd.
Said it smelled like roses.
Well, his workout pictures of Tom. This is excellent.
And Kirk's, I think, says like best Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And then Jerry says to my good friend, Jerry Callahan from Tom Brady. And it was a highlight of Jerry's day.
Well, there could be a lot of people who are like Albert, got a text or missed the news on Friday. Jerry did his last show here on WEEI. We were talking about what he meant to us as a show, what he meant as a listener. You guys can help us out with that at 617-779-7937. He certainly meant a lot to the Jimmy Fund, which is right there at the top of what he's meant. We'll talk about that in this hour and get to more of your calls. It is Mutt, Ken, and Curtis, WEEI.